Today we are going to continue our series of messages where we also would like to remember Pastor Ricks. We've talked about him being a true friend. We talked about his servanthood as a pastor, his faithfulness. Today we're going to be talking about him as a righteous preacher and a faithful father with his family. We'll be coming from Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we love you for giving us this opportunity to come and to worship you, to lift up your name, that we can come and fellowship with one another as we break bread and listen to the word of God. We ask at this time that you would take your preacher and hide him behind your cross, that the shadow of your gospel will reach those in my hearing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, we've talked about our brother, Pastor Ricks, our pastor and friend, Pastor Ricks. And we looked at it through the eyes of the scriptures. And today I just wanted to wrap up our last message. The title of our message is A Righteous Preacher, A Righteous Father. A Righteous Preacher, A Righteous Father. And we're coming from Genesis chapter 6 and 7. I'd like to read our text today for our chapter 2 and verse 5. And as Peter was speaking of judgment and how judgment was coming upon several incidents, he comes to verse 5 of 2 Peter and he says, "And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly." Again, our message is a righteous preacher, a righteous father. Our first point is that Noah found grace in the eyes of God in the midst of a wicked generation. And we know from this familiar passage of Genesis chapter 6 that God had made man, and he watched man slide from innocence into having sin against him. God, who had breathed into man the breath of life, was very disappointed now after he clothed Adam and Eve with the coats of skin so that they would have the covering of the blood. Oh, but sin began to ramp up. We saw the murder of their son, Abel, by Cain. And as the Cain's legacy continued, we saw that the world became evil and became deadly. Now it came to pass in chapter 6, verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. These men, many of them were demonically possessed. They did great evil. It says in verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." Here we find that God's patience was waxing thin. Even today, saints, we must be careful not to take his patience for granted. Man's longevity, which was enjoyed by Adam and Seth and old Enoch, who was and was not, was coming to an untimely end because of man's evil ways. Now, even though we know that God does not desire anyone, as Peter writes in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's why we know that Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. But this evil that God saw, I want you to think about this. If you were in a stadium of a football game and there's 40, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people, only 8 of those people, can you even find 8 people? How do you winnow that number down? Look how many people are left outside of the ark of safety if only 8 in a stadium. That's a lot of people. I don't know how many people were living during this time of Noah, but I do know this. If there was only 8, it was a sad thing. Verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Can you imagine that? You know, we watch TV nowadays and see things on TV that shock us, see things on TV that make us sad, but here, evil continually was what God saw when he turned on his TV. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. Remember now, man was his chief creation. Man was made in the image of God. God breathed into him the breath of life. He gave him a spirit so he could commune and fellowship with man. And now his chief creation, he was sorry that he made man on the earth. It says, and he was grieved in his heart. Can you imagine? God made all of the stars, the moon, the sky, all the planets, and yet this one fact grieved his heart. Verse 7 says, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Yes, God is love, the Bible tells us, and he's gracious, but he's also righteous and must judge evil. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. To grieve means to present a present sentence when believers cause pain or grief or distress to the Holy Spirit because of our actions. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that we read earlier, how God did not spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with 7 others when he brought a flood upon the earth. Verse 8 says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. So not only did Noah find grace in the eyes of God in the midst of a wicked generation, but we know in our second point that Noah walked with God.
Verse 9 says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Can you imagine that? An entire world full of human beings, and yet he could only find the one man and his family who walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Pastor Ricks had three sons. Pastor Ricks walked with God. And we've seen all three of his sons grow up to be men of God. One's a preacher, one's a trustee, and one was involved in ministry with the youth here at New Berean Baptist Church. So we saw that Noah walked with God and had three sons. It says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 that these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. This verse shows us why God saved Noah and his family. He saw Noah as a righteous man in his own generation. He was blameless. Even more, Noah walked with God. That term walked with God is associated with a deep and close relationship with God. That's why Enoch never tasted death, and God took him in Genesis 5 and verse 24. God didn't say Noah was perfect. None of us are. In fact, Romans 3:10 tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. Everyone, Noah included, we all fall short of God's glory. But God's grace is what we needed. Verse 11 says, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Verse 13 says, God said to Noah, the end of all flesh had come before me. Isn't it good to have a relationship with God just as Abraham did? Because God will tell his righteous servants what he has in his head. He'll share what's on his heart with those who are close to him. And he told Noah, make yourself an ark. He said, the end of flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14 says, make yourself an ark. Make yourself an ark. Oh, there needs to be an ark of safety. Look at what the Bible says, starting in verse 18. As God shares with Noah his plan of salvation. He says in verse 18, but I will establish my covenant, my agreement with you. You shall go into the ark, but not just you. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. It's good to be a family man who lives a life that will bring others to Christ along with you. Point number three, Noah's faith led to his family's salvation. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. This is the third time, folks, that God declared about Noah that he was righteous before him. Even though we are all unworthy, God is gracious and merciful to those who see their need for a savior. Noah walked with God, and so he must have known the holiness of God and what was pleasing in God's sight. For Noah's sake, all his family was also spared. only 8 out of the entire world lived. But instead of thinking it's so amazing that only a few were saved, it's more amazing that any of us are saved. We have no comparison with anyone else. I'm glad that God saved me on October 20th, 1978, because I certainly didn't deserve any salvation. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 5 says, "And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him." The reason that Noah was counted as righteous and blameless was because Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. When we obey, it proves our love for God. And it is just as Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," in John 14 and verse 15. So it is also, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, it says this. John gives this great definition of love in the scriptures. He writes, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Noah's faith led to his family's salvation. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Listen to what the Bible says. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen." For us, we have the scriptures to warn us. It continues, "In reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Noah was warned by God, and Noah took the warning seriously. Today, we have the warnings through the biblical writers, the prophets, Paul and others who wrote in the New Testament, who wrote about the necessity for repentance and faith. Some have created their own God in all their own likeness. They're idol worshipers. They're people who worship false gods today. But there's only one God, and he's a God of love. And that's it. Yet, we know this, that God is love, and not only is that the whole picture of God, this is one small slice, because it's also his holiness. That's why the word of God is printed, spoken, and preached to reveal the wrath of God that is to come. So it's to make them see their sin and flee, run to the foot of the cross. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we preach it. Romans 10 and verse 17. Pastor Rick's family, his wife, his 3 sons, they saw faith lived out day by day. He was not one to compromise with Pastor Rick's. The Bible shows how Abraham's nephew Lot was also called a righteous man. Oh, but Lot's compromise with the world did not convince his family to follow and be committed to the Lord. The 2 angels that had come to look at Sodom and Gomorrah, they had to grab Lot and his family to escape the coming judgment on Sodom. Lot's wife, she turned and looked back at what the world had to offer. And God turned her into a pillar of salt. In contrast, Noah, by his example, had exemplified an authentic faith in authentic walk. He was real and faithful, a faithful preacher of righteousness. In that 120 years and probably 75 of those years were the actual construction of the ark. And you can imagine he's building this boat and he's telling them that one day it's going to rain. There was no rain at that time. He was probably considered to be crazy, but he still preached righteousness to them, to all his neighbors, friends and frenemies, that they would come and be counted as righteous as he was and have safety in the ark, but they were not to come. No, they turned that back on him and his God. He was real and faithful preacher in an age of corruption, evil, and violence. Pastor Rick's family, they saw face to face how real and authentic he was in the Lord. When he got saved, even his wife Vanessa wasn't having it. She didn't catch on at the time. But he was faithful. His friends thought he was crazy as he was throwing the joy juice in the trash can. Oh, but Pastor Rex, he was real. They all came to know Jesus as Savior as they saw him live out his faith in the Lord. His family, his grandchildren, all experienced his agape love for them until the end of his earthly life. One of Pastor Rick's sayings we all remember was that he says he didn't want to play with man's soul. How true that was. His family, including his mother, grandmother, brother, sisters, uncles, aunts, nephews, and nieces, they heard this preacher of righteousness share the gospel of Christ with them and will attest his genuine faith walk, much like Noah in his day. For better or for worse, richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, he was the true preacher of righteousness, a faithful husband, a godly example of a father to his three boys, and a doting grandfather who loved his grandchildren. He loved them dearly and worked to have them also know Jesus, who was our ark of safety. Romans 5:8 says, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, we must go to the source of our salvation and trust in Christ. So in conclusion, Noah was a righteous man because he obeyed God. When we love somebody, we want to do the things that are pleasing to him. So living a life of righteousness, as much as practical, as much as possible on this side of heaven, allows us to receive the abundant blessings of God. But to resist God in the manner that the men of Noah's generation did will result in curses far worse than a flood. Eternal punishment in hell and the lake of fire, according to Revelation 3:20. So let us look at the example of Noah, a preacher of righteousness, in our late Pastor Rick's, and seek to live an authentic and righteous life in Christ ourselves. Like Noah, let us point our families, our friends and neighbors to the gospel of Christ, to the cross, that they may also enter into the ark of safety by trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe everybody here has made that decision to be in the ark of safety. And I thank God that I'm able to stand here, that I'm also in the ark of safety. And I'm so happy to be able to fellowship and to deliver this message from the Lord to you. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We thank you for a preacher of righteousness. We thank you for a faithful father that we have in Pastor Ricks. We thank you, dear Lord, that as we continue on this journey, yes, he will not be with us physically, but his memory will last on. I ask that you would help to comfort the saints of this church. Heal us from our sadness. Allow us to grieve as long as we need to, but let us continue to stay on the course to finish the work that he started here at New Berean Baptist Church, and that we will be faithful as he was to live a life of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray.